Title: Sub and Kick Balance Masterclass with Resampling Only Advanced. Alright, welcome in. This is an advanced Ableton Live lesson for drum and bass, and we're going to do something that instantly separates pretty good low end from how is this so stable and heavy. We're balancing kick and sub using resampling only as the main workflow, not sidechain at 6 dB and pray. We're going to print, shape, reprint, and commit until the kick and sub behave like one instrument. If you're used to keeping everything live and tweakable forever, this might feel scary for about 5 minutes. Then it becomes addictive, because you iterate faster, you make clearer decisions, and your low end starts surviving loud playback and heavy limiting. Let's set the goal right now. The kick and sub should hit hard, clean, and consistent, and they should still feel good when you turn the track way down, and when you sum to mono. Section 1. Session setup and monitoring. Set your project tempo to something standard for rolling DNB. Let's pick 174 BPM. Create 4 tracks. First, kick source. That's your kick sample or synth. Second, sub source. Usually an instrument track. Third, kick print. That's an audio track. Fourth, sub print. Another audio track. Now, on the master, we're going to set up a safe monitoring chain. Put utility first, and set gain to minus 6 dB. This is just headroom, so we're not mixing into accidental clipping. Next, add spectrum. Stock Ableton. Set the block to high and the average to slow. You want it stable enough to read the low end without it jittering like crazy. Optional. Put a limiter last only as a safety net. Ceiling at minus 0.3. And here's the rule. Do not drive it. It's only there to stop surprises. One more monitoring habit that matters. Keep your listening level moderate. Low-end decisions get worse when you're blasting. If it only sounds good loud, it's not actually balanced. And I want you to build a truth check right now. Put another utility on your monitoring chain if you like. And practice toggling mono while you work, not at the end. Early. If the punch changes dramatically in mono, something is relying on stereo artifacts, and low-end should not be. Section 2. Pick sources that can actually coexist. Before we do any clever editing, choose a kick and a sub that don't fight by design. For the kick, you want a solid transient and a controlled low tail. In DNB, a kick with a long sighing boom can be cool, but if your sub is also living down there, you're basically stacking two subs at once. That's where you get flab instead of weight. Typical kick fundamentals in this style often land somewhere around 45 to 70 Hz, with perceived weight sometimes more like 80 to 120 depending on the sample. For the sub, for rolling DNB, usually a clean sine or triangle core and optionally some harmonics above so it translates on smaller systems. Pick a key and commit. Really, if you're in F hash for example, that sub fundamental is around F hash 1. You can also work in F, G, A, but choose a lane and stick to it. Quick coaching note. People blame plugins for low-end problems when the real issue is they never committed to a fundamental. You can't stabilize what you keep changing. Section 3. Build a sub that's print-ready. On the sub-source track, use operator for consistency. Oscillator A, sine, envelope, set attack to something like 1 to 2 milliseconds. The reason is simple. 0ms can click depending on the note start and phase, but too slow makes it feel late and mushy. Decay, roughly 300 to 800ms depending on your rhythm. Sustain, you can set it to minus infinity if you want the note length to control the sound. Release, somewhere like 30 to 80ms so it doesn't just shut off like a gate. Now a simple device chain. EQ 8 first. High pass at around 20 to 25 Hz, 24 dB per octave. We're not removing bass. We're removing subsonic junk that eats headroom and does nothing in a club. Then saturator. Soft clip mode. Drive maybe 1 to 4 dB. Output trim so the perceived loudness stays comparable. This is about controlled audibility, not distortion flexing. Then utility. Make bass mono on, and set width to 0%. Below about 120 Hz, you want this mono. Clubs punish you for getting cute down there. Your goal right now is a sub that sounds stable, not hyped. You want clean fundamentals and just enough harmonics that it's still there on smaller speakers. Extra truth check that's super effective. Create a reference sine calibrator. Make a MIDI track with operator playing a steady sine at your sub key, like F hash 1. Keep it quiet but audible. Now a slash B your printed sub against that reference tone later. If your sub feels bigger but the meters are similar, you might be hearing harmonics, which can be good, or you might be hearing some nasty resonance, which is not. If your sub feels smaller than the reference, you may be canceling with a kick, or you high pass too aggressively. Section 4. Print the sub. Commit early. Now we resample. Create the subprint audio track and set its input. You can do straight resampling, or, even cleaner, set the input to subsource, PostFX. I prefer PostFX from source track because it keeps your capture clean and intentional. Solo the subsource and record 8 to 16 bars of your bassline into subprint. Now you have audio. And this is the big shift. You can edit this like a surgeon. Nudge it by samples, fade it, cut it, and make it consistent. Also, quick discipline note. When you edit subprint, try not to start clips mid-wave unless you mean it. Prefer zero crossings, or start at a consistent point in the waveform cycle, like always on an upward crossing. That reduces the note punch lottery, where one note hits like a truck and the next vanishes. Section 5. Print the kick too. Even if your kick is already a sample, print it through a chain so your final kick is consistent hit to hit. On kick source, at EQ 8, high pass at 20 to 30 HZ. If it's boxy, a small cut around 250 to 400 HZ. Then drum bus. Drive maybe 2 to 8%. Boom at 0 to 10% and be careful, because boom can step on your sub hard. Transients? Push it a bit, like plus 5 to plus 20, because DNB loves that defined click. Optional saturator, 1 to 3 dB of drive for density. Now record it into kick print, again 8 to 16 bars. After that, disable or mute your source tracks. From this point on, you're working only with the prints. That's the whole point of this masterclass. Section 6. The real game. Kick and sub interlock with micro edits. Now we make the low end act like one machine. First decision, who owns the true sub fundamental? In heavy rolling DNB, most of the time the sub owns 40 to 55 HE, and the kick owns 60 to 110 plus the transient. There are jungle styles where kick owns more of the low, but you still have to pick a hierarchy. Next, phase alignment, by ear, with sample nudging. Zoom all the way in on a kick hit where the sub is playing underneath. Look at the first half cycle of the sub under the kick. If the kick transient lands while the sub waveform is in a bad position, you can lose punch. The trick is to nudge the sub print earlier or later by tiny amounts. We're talking 5 to 40 samples. Not milliseconds. Samples. Turn off grid, and use fine movement. Loop a single bar. Now nudge and listen. You're listening for the combined hit to sound louder and tighter without your peak meter really changing. That's how you know you're improving coherence, not just turning something up. Here's a useful diagnostic. Put a utility on your low-end bus temporarily and flip polarity, left and right. If polarity inversion suddenly makes it punchier, you probably have a phase relationship problem. Don't just leave it inverted as a fix. Use that as evidence, then nudge and recheck. Even more surgical. Create an audio effect rack on the low-end bus with two chains, one chain normal, one chain with phase inverted on the left, or both if you want. Then flip quickly while looping. If inversion sounds better only on certain notes, that's a clue that your sub-start phase or note-to-note continuity is inconsistent. That can come from synth retrigger settings, or from edits that start mid-cycle. Now the big move, make space with envelopes, not sidechain compression. On sub-print, for every kick hit, you're going to create a tiny dip in the sub audio. This is manual sidechain, but cleaner, because it's fixed per hit and it doesn't pump unpredictably. Here's the method. Put the sub clip a little before the kick transient, something like 5 to 15 milliseconds before. Apply a very fast fade out into the kick. Think 2 to 10 ms. Then after the kick transient, fade back in. Maybe 10 to 30 ms. Now adjust by feel. If the kick loses punch, make the sub fade out steeper or start it slightly earlier. If the groove starts feeling hollow, you dip too hard or too long. Reduce the dip depth or shorten the fade in. And coaching tip. Don't assume every note needs the same dip. Root notes often carry more energy and might need a slightly longer clearance. Passing notes might need barely any. Make two or three dip shapes you like and copy-paste those templates. Advanced variation, and this one is gold. Reverse the thinking and do kick-first ducking. Instead of carving the sub every time, shorten the kick's low tail. On kick print, use clip fades to end the low part earlier, often 60 to 120 ms earlier than you think. Keep the transient. Remove the overlap. The result is a steadier sub pressure while the kick still reads. Section 7. Frequency lanes with minimal EQ. Now group kick print and sub print into a low-end bus. On kick print, consider a gentle dip around 45 to 60 HC if your sub is strong there, 1 to 3 dB. Gentle. You're carving lanes, not doing surgery for fun. On sub print, consider a dip around 70 to 100 HC if the kick body lives there. Keep it subtle. Overrect low end collapses under mastering, and a good mental model is ownership, not removal. Each part gets a lane. One more metering note. Don't get hypnotized by peaks. Watch short-term loudness or RMS behavior. A lot of perceived weight comes from the first 80 to 150 milliseconds of combined energy. Peaks won't tell that story well. Section 8. Resemble the combined low end. Commit again. Once it hits right, print the whole thing together. Create a new audio track called Low End Print. Set input to resampling or to the low end bus post effects. Record 16 bars. Now you have a committed stem you can slash beat instantly. This is how pros iterate fast. Print versions, don't endlessly tweak. And here's a very DJ-friendly approach. Print multiple versions for different sections. Low end print tight for busy sections. Low end print long for sparse sections. Then arrange between them like you're switching doubles in a set. That's club first thinking, and it keeps you out of plug and rabbit holes. Section 9. Arrangement moves that make it feel bigger without turning it up. Low end isn't just mixing, it's arrangement. Try removing one kick before a phrase resolves. That creates perceived impact on the next hit. Control subnote length. Shorter notes when drums are busy, longer holds when there's space. Do call and response. Let the sub breathe when other bass elements, like a res, are speaking. And a classic. Mute the sub entirely for a quarter to a half bar before the drop. When it comes back, it feels like the room got heavier, even if your meter barely moved. Print these changes as new low-end print takes. Again, commit, compare, choose. Section 10. Translation upgrades for darker or heavier DNB. If you're going for dark, heavy rollers, make the sub slightly shorter than you think. Tight sub often feels heavier because it leaves room for movement and ambience around it. If you want more audibility without muddying, do distortion in parallel above the sub. Duplicate sub print. High pass that duplicate at 120 to 180 HE. Distort it harder. Then keep it quiet. Your core stays clean. Your presence layer tells small speakers what note is happening. This audio version is shortened for playback.